Appreciate your singing tonight. Trust that we all have the same opinion about God's Word, at least that we would say that it is wonderful words of life, and that we would rejoice in the promises that we can stand upon, the promises that we can claim. It's interesting to me and encouraging to me when I do make hospital calls to hear what it is that the people in the hospital have been thinking about. And often, it's the promises of God that they're focused on in those times of darkness and difficulty and when we're prone to despair, to be able to cling to the promises that God has made, just as the prophets did and just as the apostles did. And so we're thankful for these promises. We're thankful for the power of God's word. We, like I said, we probably all have the same opinion about how valuable it is. And if we were to ask to make a list of what all the advantages of God's word are, I have no doubt that we would be able to create a pretty good-sized list. And no doubt we enjoy our time in God's word from time to time, as often as we're able to do it, and that's a wonderful thing. But perhaps our view of the impact of God's word is somewhat limited because we've never thought about using it in other venues or in other ways. And so what I'd like to do is kind of go over some of the things that we discussed a week ago Saturday when we had the men come here and we talked about one-to-one Bible reading. I'd like to expand on that just a little bit and really kind of give a challenge to our church to consider doing in the future. All right, and something that we'll actually practice tonight a little bit. All right, it's not going to be difficult. It's really actually quite simple. And sometimes it's the simple things that get overlooked the quickest. All right? So, we read through Colossians 1. We'll be reading through Colossians 1 again, perhaps a couple of times. What I'd like to highlight, we're not going to preach through it tonight. I would highlight, though, there are a couple things in there that are encouraging for us in this type of a conversation that we're having. In chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, he highlights the fact that this church in Colossae, a church that he did not plant. In fact, he had never met these people face to face. That's kind of interesting as you read through it and you see his care for them, that he had never met them. You know, in a sense, because he does talk about the person who did reach out to them, who he knew, in a sense, when we send a missionary to another country and they start a church, we should have the kind of love for those people that Paul expresses here in Colossians that he has for the Colossian believers. And the fact that he gets involved in their life and the fact that he feels that part of his stewardship is reaching out to them. And as he says in chapter 1, helping them mature in the faith. And how are they going to do that except through the word of God? But he talks about in verses 5 and 6 the fact that they had heard the hope of the gospel through the word. And that was that springs into them becoming believers in God and having this hope in Jesus. And then that springs into them joining together as a church, as a body. And he talks about the fact that they need to be encouraged and they need to be taught and they need to increase in the knowledge. And how are they going to do that? Except through the word of God. How are we going to do that? Except through the word of God. He talks about presenting them as mature in Christ. And how do we mature in Christ except through his word? There's a book, and I'm not going to encourage you to buy it. You could if you wanted to. It's not that expensive. It's called One-to-One Bible Reading. You say, well, why do I need a book? Well, I'm telling you, you don't need it because I'm going to tell you basically what it says, all right? Yeah, so you can reimburse me like 2 cents for what I, you know, collectively will pay for it. But it's actually a very helpful resource because of a couple of different things it does. But like I said, what I'd like to do is really kind of challenge us to kind of get the ball rolling. And so some of the value of the book is describing why this is beneficial. Some of it is to kind of cast a vision for us. But then he gives us a couple of methods about how we would do this, how we would do one-to-one Bible reading, that is, reading the Bible with one other person. And if I was to ask you, I'm not, but if I was to ask you, what does that look like or who would you read the Bible with, our answers may be a little more limited than what they should be. There's another book, and I'm not going to tell you to buy that one either, but you can borrow these books from me if you'd like to see them. There's a book called The Trellis and the Vine. And that's written by a couple of pastors, and they're looking at how to do ministry in our current culture and what that would look like. And so the trellis is kind of like programs that we use in church, and the vine is actually the church, the body. And they said sometimes pastors look at the trellis and they try to make the trellis look really nice and have this really flashy program, and it doesn't help unless there's an actual vine growing on it, right? And so some people then pay attention to the vine and they don't build any structure to help the church to grow properly. So they're saying there's got to be a balance there. But in there, they suggest this. Let me just read what they say. They say, imagine if all Christians, as a normal part of their discipleship, were caught up in a web of regular Bible reading. Not only digging into the word privately, but reading it with their children before bed, with their spouse over breakfast, with a non-Christian colleague at work once a week over lunch, with a new Christian for follow-up once a fortnight, for mutual encouragement, and with a mature Christian friend once a month for mutual encouragement. It'd be a chaotic web of personal relationships, prayer, and Bible reading. More of a movement than a program, but at another level, it would be profoundly simple and within reach of all. It's an exciting thought. I mean, just imagine where all kinds of relationships are centered in on God's Word. Kind of like what we discussed with koinonia or fellowship, the idea that it focuses in on God's Word and God's work. And what if we were doing this with people who were mature in the faith, who could express to us, hey, here's something I've learned, here's how I've seen that work out in my life. Or a new believer who needs to be encouraged by things that you've experienced in your life. Or an unbeliever who doesn't know the word at all. And that might seem like an odd thing to do. You might say, why would I talk to an unbeliever about reading God's word? Well, it's interesting you say that, because there was a study done not that long ago where they talked to 1,000 younger people, that is, you know, somewhere between 20 and 30 is the way they're defining younger. All right, that are unchurched. And they asked them, if somebody invited you to read God's word one-on-one, just read the Bible with them, would you do it? Over 60% said yes. Then they asked 500 people in an older age bracket, same question. It was a very small percentage. What does that tell us? That there's young people in our world that don't know anything about God, they're not in church, they're not impacted at all by God's word, that said, yeah, if somebody asked me to read the Bible with them, yeah, I'd do it. So you could go up and witness to them, you could invite them to church, and they might say, no, that's okay, I don't need any of that. But the curiosity to know what is in the Bible and the idea of reading it one-to-one with somebody else isn't nearly as imposing to them as we might think. And how hard is it to read the Bible? It's really not that hard. I do it every Sunday, so I can tell you. From experience, it's not that hard. And reading one-on-one's really not that intimidating. And the goal really is not to say, hey, I'm going to be your teacher, and I'm going to be the guru, and you come to me with all your problems. That's not what we're talking about. It's two people sitting together reading the same word. All right? So we provided a handout, and if you did not get one of those, if you could just raise your hand, I'll have Landon or Carson grab one of those for you. Did anybody not get one of the booklets as you were coming in? Okay. Carson, could I get you to grab a couple over here? Landon, if you could get some to the Wilsons and Mrs. Hill and Ron, just grab the whole stack. Does anybody need a pen? We're all set there. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure with the modern era where everybody uses digital devices. I thought pens may be hard thing to come by too, so I wasn't sure. So these particular handouts that they're giving you are the same one that we used on Saturday. So if you're one of the guys that was here on Saturday, you already have one of these, and that's okay. And we can make more. If you say this is something I'd like to use with a coworker or a neighbor or a family member or something like that, we can provide you with more. If you'd like some that don't have a passage listed, these are specifically listing Colossians, but we can make some that don't have any passages listed, and you can just use those for anything that any topic that or any passage that you're going to read. But we'll just walk through this quite briefly, actually, and then we're going to kind of give it a try. So really, there's three things that we're doing here with our Bible reading. right? We could break it down into several steps. But essentially, what we're trying to do here is really just spend time reading God's word and thinking about it and considering how it applies to my life. All right? So there's three different images or icons that are on there for us to kind of have a picture to represent what we're looking for. The first one that you'll see there is a light bulb. Okay, and the idea of a light bulb, you know, usually when we think of a light bulb, it's, I got a new idea. And it's not that we're necessarily trying to find something new in the Bible, but what's something that stood out to you? You know, it's not uncommon to read the exact same passage every year and something different stand out this year than what stood out last year or the year before or the year before that. And it's not because the Bible has somehow become new or the verse changed on you overnight. It's that we go through different things in our life, and we're at a different level of maturity, and we're going through a different set of circumstances. And so what stands out to me now may not stand out to me so much the next time I read it, and then maybe there'd be something different that would stand out there. All right, so we're looking for things that stand out. You know, it may be something you just never recognized or something you hadn't thought of that way, and it really stands out to me now. Jot that down. All right, and we gave you about a third of the sheet there to do that. We're really not looking to fill up like 20 items here. All right, so try to cap it at, we'll say, 3. You know, no more than 3 light bulbs. If you get more than 3 light bulbs, you're out of light bulbs. Sorry, you know, you gotta wait till the next time you read the chapter to get the others. All right, because we're not trying to make this an hour-long project. This is supposed to be something very simple. Now, if you say, well, you know, I've got a lot of free time, and I'm meeting with somebody who's got a lot of free time, we want to go more in depth, that's fine. No problem with that. But what we're doing tonight is really just kind of getting the ball rolling. All right? And it can be simple, and this is something that anybody can do. So you know, try to go 1 to 3 items here. All right? So a light bulb, something that stands out, something that you know, I see and I think, boy, that's interesting, or I never really thought about that before. The second is a question mark. All right? And that one might be pretty self-explanatory. But this is something you would want to ask the author about. Maybe it's something you don't quite understand. Maybe he uses a word, or the way he constructs the sentence doesn't quite make sense to you. Something about it just doesn't seem quite right. Or there's some background information that you don't have that you would like to have. What would you ask the author? You know, and it's possible if you're reading with a more mature believer or another believer, and they say, you know what, I've actually thought about that before, or I've heard a sermon preached on that, or I've got a book that I read. Right, so there's times when we might be able to help and answer the question, but the goal isn't to sit there and try and answer the other person's questions so much as we're going to discuss it. And one of the things that does for us is it not only gives us the opportunity to think about something different or perhaps help a brother or sister, but it also kind of keys our mind in to start looking for an answer to that. You know, if you don't know that a problem exists, you're not looking for a solution. But if you start to have that thing in the back of your mind, you think, I wonder why he said that way. You know what? I've got a commentary at home I could check. Or I've got a resource online. Or you know, I've got access to Bob Meyer's library. I could just go in and grab one of his books. You know? Hopefully you would have permission first. But whatever resource you'd be able to look at another time to be able to get that, you know, get an answer, or at least find some information on that. Right? It keys our mind up to be looking for an answer to that in the future. And the next time you get together, you say, you know, I actually saw something that might be helpful, might kind of help to answer that question. All right, so we're going to look for light bulbs, things that stand out, things that for right now in my life, this seemed more prominent. It kind of jumped off the page at me. Question mark, something I would like to ask the author. What did you mean here? Or how does this connect with the rest of the passage, right? Question marks. The last one's an arrow. And the point of the arrow is an application. Yeah, does he give us a command that we're supposed to start putting into practice right now? Does he say something that he's doing that I should be doing? He talks about the way he prays for these Colossians. Is that something I should be doing? Should I be praying for other believers, even ones I've never met, in this way for these things? Should I have this kind of concern in this way? Is there a heresy or something there that he says to stop believing that I maybe have been confused about, or I know somebody that I can challenge and I can encourage with that? So an application is something I can start putting into practice in life right now. And you might have different applications that stand out to you than the person you're reading with, and that's wonderful. Because after you go through, so essentially you're going to read the passage together out loud. You could alternate every other verse. You could alternate every other paragraph. You have the first person read the first half, the second person read the second half. You're going to read it out loud, and you're not going to write anything down that first time. All right? Then you're going to read it a second time, silently to yourself, and that's where you're going to start writing these things down. And after you've written them down, you come back to a conversation. Hey, what's one of your light bulbs? What's something that stood out to you? Discuss that for a couple minutes. What questions would you ask Paul from this chapter? Oh, yeah, I had the same question, right? Yeah, you know, I didn't have that question, but Pastor preached on that a couple years ago. And you could listen to the sermon online, or I'll tell you, this is what he said. And then get to the application. Is there any application that we can start putting into practice right now? Right, these are the three things that we're looking for. It's just that simple. Now you say, when would I have time to do something like this? It sounds really involved. Well, honestly, it really doesn't need to take longer than 15 minutes. You could take longer if you wanted to, if you had that opportunity, but you could do it in 15 minutes. Say, well, you know, I live far away, and I'm not near, you know, one of the brothers or sisters here at the church. How would I do this? Well, maybe here's what you could do. Instead of saying we're going to do it exactly the way Pastor Smith said it, let's break it up. Let's read it privately in our houses. Answer, you know, look for the light bulbs, look for the question marks, look for the applications, and then when we come together, we'll read it out loud together, and then we'll just jump in the discussion. We could do that right after evening service. We could do that Wednesday before prayer meeting starts. We could do it Sunday morning after Sunday school, before Sunday school or after the morning service. Or maybe we'll just get together, you know, once a month and have coffee on a Saturday morning, and that's when we'll do it. Right? It doesn't need to take an excessively long amount of time. But the focus brings us back to God's Word. And why is that so important? Well, God's Word does a lot of things, like we said, for us. But by having this regular accountability, by having this regular interaction, we're accomplishing several things. With an unbeliever, we actually can have an evangelistic focus, and we know that it is God's Word that brings us to salvation, because Paul told the same thing to the Colossians in chapter 1. There's other places where he talks about the fact that the word, you know, implanted in them then is able to save their souls. So reading one-to-one scripture with somebody that's an unsaved person has the opportunity of evangelism, right? There's also a sanctifying effect. So maybe you're reading with a believer. It doesn't matter if it's a mature believer or an immature believer. It doesn't really matter. You're having the opportunity to help them with teaching, with instruction in righteousness, right? Reproof. And there are all of these advantages of sanctification that come from the result of God's word in us can't really have that effect unless God's word is getting in us. So it has a sanctifying aspect. It also has this relationship or fellowship aspect, right? And we could talk about all of the different things that God's word has the power to do, and we recognize those things. But when we think, well, it's only going to do that for me when I'm by myself reading God's word, instead of thinking, well, how could I spend time with somebody else reading God's word with them? All right? So the challenge that we're putting forth to you is just to consider reading the book of Colossians with somebody else in this church. You know, maybe you don't see a person there's somebody that's not here tonight, and you say, you know, I get together with them on a regular basis. How about if we spend some of that time reading God's word? I'll take an extra one of these to them. Right? Or maybe you have a family member, you say, I'd like to read it with them. That's fine. Tonight what we're going to do is we're going to read chapter 1 again in groups. All right? And you might be in a family situation where you say, well, there's more than two of us. Well, that's fine. Right? But if you're not in a family with more than two, you might say, well, you know, I'm going to go find another guy. I'm going to find another woman. Or you might just say, hey, I'm just going to try this with my spouse tonight. You know, I'm not trying to shake things up dramatically or anything like that. Right? Find somebody nearby you and read chapter 1. Read it together, and then see if there's any light bulbs or if there's any question marks or if there's any applications. Spend a few minutes discussing those things with them, and then I'll get up and kind of wrap things up after that. But the ultimate challenge is to consider doing this in the future, not just saying, hey, let's just read through Colossians, but maybe an unsaved person, you say, hey, I can tell you about Jesus, but there's people that lived in his day that tell us a lot more. How about if we get together and read the Gospel of John together? Or maybe you just say, hey, can we read one chapter together? And after it's done, say, hey, would you like to do this again sometime? Right? It doesn't have to be an all or nothing endeavor. But perhaps we'll get in the habit of just doing this on a regular basis where we won't have to have somebody stand up and say, hey, now we're going to do this book or now we're going to do that book. Just it'll just become a natural flow of life that we'll just regularly be finding opportunities to read God's word together with other believers. All right. But for tonight, we're going to do Colossians 1. So if you could find somebody nearby and we'll take, you know, probably about 10 minutes and read through it, make some comments, we'll discuss it, and then I'll get up and close our time. I hesitate to interrupt the discussion, but I did promise that I would come and close us off. And I would encourage you, if you have the opportunity, the time right now, just to stay in your groups and finish up. We're not going to kick you out of the church or anything, out of the ministry center. But just wanted to encourage you again that this is something that really, it doesn't have to be all scary or mystical or anything. It can be just as simple as opening up the Bible and reading with somebody. And we don't have to call anybody to a long-term commitment, but just starting with one chapter, just starting up maybe with a paragraph and just saying, hey, this is something that ministered to my heart. Can we share this together and spend some time talking about it? And the more the habit, once that habit is started, the more we do it, the easier it becomes, and the more God's word can impact our lives and then can be poured out from our ministry center into Westerville and Columbus and so forth. So I do want to encourage you to try this up and meet with somebody. If it's easier at the beginning to meet with somebody you know really well, great. But be considering, you know, who do I know that's unsaved that might be willing to do this? Who do I know that's a new believer that might be willing to do this? Who's somebody who's mature in the faith that could help minister to me, right? Because it's God's word impacting both of our lives in this. And hopefully this will be something that will just become a natural thing, a natural part of the fabric of Westerville Bible Church will be the fact that we read God's word together and discuss it. Let me just have a word of prayer, and then I'll let you get back to your discussions. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the way it impacts and changes our life. I do ask, Lord, that you would continue to give us wisdom in this, that we wouldn't just walk away from an opportunity like this, but that we would really express the passion and understanding that we claim by putting into practice this very simple thing of reading your word and discussing it with others. May it be something that becomes natural and easy for us to do, and may it be something in which we would see growth within our church and growth even outside of our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.